Welcome to what? Episode 5 of the Dress Up Disasters podcast. I'm Circuit.
And I'm Allie Cass.
And today I think we're going to be talking about how to keep your motivation when working on a project that maybe you're sick and tired of fucking looking at. Because that never happens.
Me at my current project right now.
Me at my current project.
Yeah.
So, first, talking about motivation comes with the projects that we're making. Mm-hmm. So, what have you been working on lately?
So, I'm working on this little lad from MXTX Scumvillain. The Scumvillain self-serving system. I don't remember what it's all called.
It's a gay book.
It's a gay book with gay men, and you know what? That's enough for me. And so I'm cosplaying the green guy, and I'm only going to say this name once, and I will be referring to him every time after this as the green guy, but it's Shen Qing Chu, I believe is how it's pronounced. If I'm wrong, fight me in the street, I guess. I don't know. And I'm currently in French Seam Hell, because I decided that I wanted to do French seams to enclose all of my seams because the outer robes are like really thin, easily fraying fabric, and I don't like the look of overlocked edges or like serged edges on like sheer fabric. I just don't think it looks as nice as like a French seam. So yeah, I'm in French seam hell. It's great.
Oh, I'll be there soon, mm-hmm. buddy. Because I'm currently working on a comp build that Cass and I are going to be entering with, which are the Hannah Alexander Twilight Princess Link and Zelda, in which I'm doing the ridiculous ball gown that is Zelda. And I am currently, for those who aren't familiar with the design, it has this very elaborate kind of detailing on the bottom of the skirt. And the same person would probably have done that maybe with like a vinyl or something faster than the hand beaded applique I'm making to go around to the entire bottom of this very full circle skirt. And I did the math yesterday, realizing that I need to make 198 of these fucking pieces, and I have maybe a tenth of that right now.
And we need it by April.
We need it by Easter.
Yeah, we need it by Easter, and it is the 9th of September.
So
as of filming this, so
we're getting there. It's really the big ones that take a lot of my time, because
mm-hmm.
it takes for the big pieces or the extra large that I'm referring to them in my little chart of how many I have and how many I need. The extra large pieces take me 2 days. Meanwhile, all the other pieces take me about an hour and 15 minutes. So we got a good start going. I just keep losing my motivation while I'm making these, which is very topical.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about things we do to try and keep our motivation or get our motivation started after we've lost it.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And hopefully some of these methods will help you as well as a listener in your own builds. So I think first off, what I'm currently working on right now is Costember, the online challenge that I literally just learned 2 weeks ago
mm-hmm.
from a mutual of mine, in which you make progress on your cos work or whatever it is you want to talk, whatever you want to refer to your work in progress as, every day for the entire month of September. And apparently there's one for October too, but honestly, you can self-impose one on whatever fucking month you want.
Well, it's like, I used to do NaNoWriMo, and it's similar to that, where it's like you have to write like 1,670 words a day to write 50,000 words by the end of the month. Mm-hmm. And it's a similar thing. There's a lot of like hobbies and stuff that have that similar,
Inktober is another similar one.
Yeah, Inktober. That one's a fun one. I will probably actually do an October one because, for my costuming, because by the time that I saw the September like challenge one, I was sick and I was like, there's no way.
It was already September.
And it was already September. And so, yeah, I'm like actually behind on my current project, but you can't really help getting sick.
Well, that, and unlike Inktober or the writing one.
Mm-hmm.
With things like Costember, there is no way to make it up.
Because
that day has passed already.
Yeah.
Versus like Inktober, if you missed a prompt, you just do an extra prompt the next day or what have you.
Yeah.
But with Costember, it really kind of holds you by the bootstraps.
Mm-hmm.
And carries you along, and either you fail it or you win, and I do not fail. So, that's one I really like. That's one that keeps me, because it's, you can set whatever goal you want for your days, mm-hmm. on how much coursework you want, and for me, as long as I make visible progress that I can see as immediate progress, I'm happy.
Yeah.
So, sometimes that takes 20 minutes, sometimes that takes 4 hours. Fucking whatever. As long as it's not one little round on my applique, and it's more than that, I'm happy.
Yeah.
The next one I really like to do is I like to schedule craft dates.
Yeah.
I love craft dates, or stitching bitches, mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call them. I love them so much, and especially now that you have a craft room.
You can also do them virtually.
You can do them virtually on Discord or phone call even.
Yeah. I've definitely done that, yeah.
Well, fuck, the other day I had a friend who was on stream for 17 hours con-crunching a wig.
Yep.
And I was overnight on their stream, in their chat, also working on my project. It's like, it's a little virtual crafting.
Yeah.
Except they had steaks today, so I did not.
Yeah.
I could go to bed whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
But craft dates are really fun. It can be hard to convince your friends to come out for a craft date, though, because mm-hmm. of all the stuff it entails and bringing stuff over. But that's why I love needlework, because you just pack that shit in your purse and you're good to go.
Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of space. Mm-hmm. If people are bringing sewing machines, that might be a bit of a harder sell, which is where virtual craft dates really come in handy.
Yeah.
Or, like, digital watch-alongs or mm-hmm. what have you.
Yeah, those ones are nice. Yeah, because, like, I know that I'm scheduling... I will sometimes schedule far in advance craft dates,
mm-hmm.
especially if we're working on the same project or, like, a joint project or something, or somebody needs, like, my help with teaching them something. I can be like, okay, we're gonna sit down, it's gonna be a day. Because, like, in November, I've, like, scheduled a craft date with Emma, and...
Mm-hmm. Plus, you're making something for Emma.
Exactly, so it helps. When, like,
Emma needs to be there.
Yeah. It's always funny when I'm making something for somebody and then I like pop into their DMs or whatever and be like, I need you to come out here. I need your body. Not like that.
But unless.
It's like, I need your body here. I need to like make sure this fits.
And something I really like with craft dates too, especially in competition, is typically you know other people who are also going to be competing at that same competition.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, hey, homies, who are also competing at generic AnimeCon 2026, come over and we can work on our comp pieces all together and have fun and chill out.
And cry over the insane amount of French seams that you've decided to do.
Yeah. Because sometimes it'd be like that. I'm not looking forward to all the French seams for Zelda.
I mean, I'm also going to have to end up doing French seams for Link, and I'm also bag lining a whole bunch of his costume, so...
Yeah. Yeah, but your French seams aren't necessary for the type of fabric you're using.
No.
I need to do French seams.
Well, no, because I decided I wanted to do some of the layers in cotton viol, and that's, like, really, like, sheer kind of fabric.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's either bag lining it for stiffness or, you know, either way.
It's gonna be rough.
Yeah.
It's gonna take a lot of time. It's gonna look so good.
I'm so excited.
And I'm so excited for it. We're not going anywhere on the Saturday of SoccerCon.
Oh no, when those cosplays hit the floor, it's, we're posting up.
Yeah, we're either posting up or we're changing.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, this is one that doesn't so much work for me because I have no impulse control, but set rewards for yourself.
Yeah.
And have goals for those rewards. So say, once you're making a shirt and pants. Once you make the pants, then you can indulge yourself in this award. Like, you can go to a movie in the movie theater, or you can have that sugary drink that's sitting in your fridge.
That was one that works for me, is, like, setting rewards for myself. And a lot of it comes down to, like, a snack, or, like, I have to finish this by the end of the day, and then, like, I can take a break from projects tomorrow. Or, like, yeah, just... Most of it is, if I finish it today, I get a break tomorrow.
Unfortunately, for the reward system part of keeping motivation and myself, I frequently remember I am an adult. And
have free will.
I have free will, and yeah. I can do whatever the fuck I want. If I want that candy bar in the cupboard, I'm having that fucking candy bar in the cupboard.
Yeah.
One that worked for me on my last big project was tracking your progress.
Mm.
So
yeah.
I did Molly Mock as my last big project from Critical Role. And something I enjoyed doing was keeping track of how much time it took me to do all of the needlework on his coat. So I liked seeing that number get bigger, so that would encourage me to work on it more and for longer stints of time versus just 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there. It'd be like 6 hours,
yeah,
8 hours, 12 hours. And I just chug along all the way down. At parties, in my living room, in bed, it didn't matter. I had it in my lap.
One thing that keeps me motivated in the same, like, vein of that is when I film, like, the build vlogs for my stuff. I find that that keeps me motivated because I need the space on my phone, and I can't delete those videos out of my phone until I finish the project, so that way I can film other things, so I have to finish that project, so that way I have space on my phone, and that kind of keeps me motivated. And I also like, having those, like, build logs for my projects, because then I can kind of, like, look back and
so
go...
how did I do that again?
Yeah, no, literally!
Well, I made a trench coat, like, 4 years ago. How did I do that again?
Yeah, exactly.
I need to do that again. Or also posting said progress, like, on your Instagram stories or whatever. That's
always,
what helps me.
Oh, yeah. I always have, like, an Instagram, like, story archive for all of my builds. And also, it's really fun, because when you post that you're working on a project, your friends or, like, followers or whatever, usually you'll come into your DMs and be like, oh, I love when you're posting,
like,
about this
oh
project.
Oh my god, that looks so good. Or, like,
yeah.
I stalk you to see if you posted more progress on this. However, the downside of that is when you're working on a big thing that's just very repetitive, like these stupid fucking applique pieces I'm doing, where all of your progress pictures look exactly the same.
Yep.
So it's like, I don't know if people want to see 100 photos of just these applique pieces getting beat the same photo over and over and over and over and over again. So I tend not to post as much as maybe people who follow me would like, or more than people want to see of these stupid fucking pieces.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm sick and tired of looking at these things. Like, every so often I'll see it in the light and I'm like, ooh, that's really pretty. And then other times I'm like, if I never have to bead another teardrop shape in my life, it will be too soon.
Yeah.
Also, on top of that, is build out your timeline on when you want things made, or, like, set goals on, like, what dates you're going to be working on this. Try and
timeline
schedule it
things.
Out. Yeah, because then it's easier to schedule, like, figure out when you're going to be working on this outside of your personal life.
Yeah.
And, like, hanging out with friends, because that's really important. Like, I don't want anyone here to be like, oh, I can't... Maybe the reward I should set for myself is seeing my friends.
Don't do that.
Don't do that. Because that's how you hide in your house for 6 months working on a project, and your friends are like, where did they go? Are they okay? So should we send a wellness check on them? Don't let the project take over your life. Plan the project around your life. Don't plan the life around the project.
One thing I like to do to give myself hard deadlines for a costume, if it's not for a convention, is planning a photo shoot for it. Because then I have a hard deadline of something I paid for, and I'm also going to get back beautiful photos of. So sometimes I'm like, I'm going to set myself, if it's not for a convention, if I'm just making a costume, I'll, like, plan for a photo shoot and then, like, set a date and everything, because then it's like, I'm forcing myself, I have to have this done by this date. I've done that for, I've done that for meetups, and I've done it for photo shoots, and I've done it for, like, group activity things. and well, I find that helps.
Sasuke.
Yeah, that's how I got Sasuke done. It was, I need this for a con because I'm a part of a group. I have to finish this. Mm-hmm. So I find that setting a deadline and, like, having it have stakes really helps me stay motivated.
Cosplay groups are really good for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you don't want to let your friends down.
Yeah. And then also everybody's usually, like, posting their updates mm-hmm. and things like that. So, like, yeah,
and
doing group
another
things.
Excuse for craft dates.
Exactly. If you're all working on the same group project thing, mm-hmm. craft dates are so good for that.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you'll get a friend who, like, really likes needlework or mm-hmm. really likes patterning, and mm-hmm. you like the other aspect of that, and you go, hey, buddy, if you do my patterning, I'll do your embroidery because I can do it really fast. Yeah. And then, you know, sooner or later, you're moved in with them and you're having competitions with them.
This is, in fact, a true story.
It's a little too close to home.
Yeah. So, yeah, that... Plan, giving yourself a... Because, like, if I set a date for when I want to finish something, but I don't have any stakes, it's whatever to me if I blow past that date. Because, like, for the green guy that I'm making right now, I had kind of in my mind set an end date as, like, I wanted to finish him by the end of August, because I started him middle of August. And I thought I had enough time, but I got sick. And so I blew past the date, but there was no, like, stakes for it, so I didn't, like, worry too much. The stakes for it is I actually have a photo shoot planned in November with, a friend, so, like, that's where the stakes are. I have to have him done by then. But I have so many other projects that I need to start and work on and things I want to do. So I need to... He needed to have been done.
You could also bring him to Kumo.
Oh, I could bring him to Kumo.
Because if the shoot's in November, you're going to need it done around then anyways.
Well, yeah, because, like, the weekend before Kumo is when Emma's coming. So...
there you go. Yeah. Bring it to Kumo.
I could. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy peasy. There's 2 days for Kumo.
Yeah, somebody also suggested Link.
Yeah. On the weekend, I've already scheduled to match my girlfriend.
Yeah.
All right. And a part of making a timeline for this build, include time when you're not working on it in that build.
Yeah.
Where you're just vegging out, girl rotting, mm-hmm. if you will, in bed, where that's the last thing from your mind.
Yeah.
Where you can just decompress, especially if it's a difficult project.
Oh, yeah.
Because the last thing you want is to be stuck in a time crunch, doing things you've never done before, and they're not working.
Mm-hmm.
And because that's just going to lead to a lot of anxiety and panicking, which is going to lead to shoddier work, which means more things go wrong, which then, in turn, make the anxiety and stress worse.
Yep. I have a rule for myself with projects is that if I start getting tired or if I've been working on it for a long time and I notice I have made, like, either the same mistake several times or I start making mistakes, that's when I put it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a break. Or that's the last, like, I put it down for the rest of the day. Because if I am so tired that I'm starting to make mistakes, I know that the next time I look at it, I'm going to hate what I have done. And I'm either going to have to redo it or live with the fact that I hate it. And I would rather just, like, not waste that time, but I would rather come back to it with a fresh mind versus forcing myself through something.
Yeah, because the last thing you want to do is do this big build or a build you were really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for a competition or just for fun or what have you, and have such a hard time making it and such a stressful time making it that every time you look at that costume, that's what you're reminded of, and therefore you hate it.
Yeah.
Right? That was a real risk and things I was struggling with Molly Mock, because I had a really bad con crunch leading up to the competition I was in him with,
mm-hmm.
that for a good few months, every other time I tried wearing him, I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, how you felt at ECC. Like, mm-hmm. you were just, like, I feel like it just wasn't working.
Yeah, there was also just a lot of struggles.
The ECC,
that day,
yeah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're ever considering going to a con, and you're going to be the only one out of your friends going to that con, who really likes a big group of voice actors who are going, like the Critical Role cast. Don't say to all of your friends, be like, hey, whoever wants, I'll go get autographs for whoever you want on the cast, because those lines take forever.
Yeah.
I was in line for Laura Bailey for 4.5 hours. It was brutal.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see any of the con because I was in lines.
Yeah, in lines, in Molly Mock, in body paint.
In the most poorly ventilated room in the entire convention.
On concrete. On concrete
in
floors.
In heels. With no insole.
Oh my god. Yeah, that is why I gave up and went to the other building, because I wanted to see my friends that live on the East Coast, and I was like, I can't do this, bro. I need to see my friends, because I only get to see them once a year.
Even my mom abandoned me at that point. I was there alone, just like sweating off all of my makeup. No yeah. point, but no reason, the fact that I scared Laura Bailey walking up to her table. I looked like dead Molly.
No!
Oh, it was the con was great though. It was fun meeting them,
mm-hmm.
but it never again
yeah.
will I take on that many signatures from people
mm-hmm.
in the same day. Because I put them all on the same day. I was like, on Saturday I'll do this for you. On Saturday I'll do this for you. Because then I can enjoy Sunday. Nah,
yeah.
Spread that shit out.
Yeah.
Spread that shit out.
Yeah.
One that I find really works for me. For mm-hmm. keeping my motivation is Pavloving myself. I'm
yeah.
really good at Pavloving myself.
Yeah.
Where, say, there's this big, long show that, you know, you're kind of been keeping your eye on. You're like, you know what? I kind of want to see this. But it's really long, and it's a big time sink. But this project I'm also working on is a big time sink. How about I start watching this show, but only when I work on this project?
Mm.
So then, whenever I try and force myself to watch this without working on it, because I just want to watch the show. The cliffhanger was too good, but I don't want to work on my project. You just feel like you're watching the show, and you're like, I need to work on something.
Mm-hmm.
The itch
yeah.
in your back of your brain is like, I need to work on it now. Because it's become so ingrained in your brain by the time you're on, by the end of season one, that you're like, this is my crafting show.
Mm-hmm.
To this day, I cannot watch Criminal Minds and see Matthew Gray Gubler's face on the TV screen without feeling like I need to embroider something.
Never underestimate the power of Pavloving yourself.
Yeah. So Criminal Minds, the 17 seasons it has, has become a really good show for me with crafting and keeping my
mm-hmm.
motivation on crafting.
Another thing is, like, having a location where you always craft,
mm-hmm.
if possible. Because if I put my sewing machine in a very specific spot and it stays there, or I have, like, an area where I craft, if I'm in that area, my brain goes, oh, I have to craft because this is the crafting area. So, like, having a craft room has been fantastic for, like, if I walk into that room, my brain goes, ah, yes, it's crafting time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be working on something. You can't just be in this room and not work on things. And what I did at my last house was my sewing machine, I kept it in a different room than my bedroom, so that way, like, if I saw the sewing machine or I went in there, I was like, oh, okay, it's time to craft. And I've done that before, like, other places where I lived where I kept all of my crafting stuff in the dining room, because I lived with two guys in their 20s, none of us were using the dining room. So the dining room, at like, my sewing machine stayed on the table, and my sewing stuff was in the garage, which was right out the back door of the dining room. So there was, like, if I was in the dining room, my brain was like, oh, it is time to make things, it's time to work on things. And I find that that is incredibly helpful for keeping motivation, because, yeah, Pavloving yourself, it works.
Yep. It absolutely does.
Yep.
And you don't even need to have, like, a whole separate room.
No.
For that.
Yeah.
Like, you can just carve out, like, a little corner of
mm-hmm.
your living room.
Yeah.
Have a little desk somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Or something small like that. Like, a part of a shed. Even
yeah.
if your shed
yeah.
isn't super cold all the time. Or covered in fucking sawdust because your dad put a bunch of tools in there and doesn't have a shop vac. My dad.
Years ago, we had, like, this little, like, weird shelf table thing in the living room that wasn't really good for anything, mm-hmm. and so I would keep my laptop and my sewing machine on that, and I would work on that. Because if I was sitting there at that little table, or I saw that little corner table, then I was like, ah, yes, craft time. Yeah. So having a location or a show that you need to watch, or any way of kind of Pavloving yourself into...
Yeah, well, my old house, it's very tiny. It was a single-wide mobile home, so it was about the size of a lane of traffic, because, you know, it's a mobile, so it has to be about that size. And my room was an add-on, it was an addition, which was also fairly tiny. So I really only had space for my bed and my computer desk, but because I do a lot of detail-oriented work, so, like, embroidery, rhinestoning, beading, that kind of stuff, I could actually do all that stuff at my computer desk versus, like, my bed or the couch. So whenever I sit at my desk, I'm like, okay, if I move the keyboard, it's craft time.
Mm-hmm.
Craft
mm-hmm.
song! Yay!
Yeah.
So you're not, like... It's the same theory as people say that you shouldn't do homework on your bed.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
For some people, it works relatively okay, but the efficiency of when you have a space designated, like, this is where I do this,
yeah,
so much nicer. Which is why we have a TV in the craft room, so we can be there for multiple hours in a day.
It helps incredibly having some form of entertainment in there, because my chosen thing to watch when I am working on crafting stuff is YouTube videos of, like, deep dives into history and specifically, like, archaeology and, like, ancient history. And there's, like, this one YouTuber that I really, really like, Mini Minuteman. And so I will not watch his video unless I'm crafting. Because, like, that's, like, something I've told my brain now, because I first found his YouTube channel while I was crafting. And so for the last, like, 2 years... if he has a video that comes out, my brain goes, oh, it's time to craft, because we need to go watch his video. And
don't cry, craft.
Yeah, don't cry, craft. So, yeah, like, having different, like, rituals, I guess you could even call it, to, like, get yourself into that, like, mindset of crafting
mm-hmm.
is very helpful.
Yeah, I love being able to set aside, like, this is what I'm going to do when I craft. Because
mm-hmm.
I need to have, like, I take my approach to setting up to crafting like a middle-aged woman takes having a bubble bath.
Yes.
you need to get the wine and the little spray,
yep.
the little bath salts mm-hmm. in the bath.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, I always have to, like, make sure my craft space is set up just so, mm-hmm. and then I'm like, okay, perfect, I can begin
and
crafting.
And tidy, too.
That's unless I'm in the middle of a project. I will clean up after the end of the project, but I can't start a new project until I've cleaned.
Yeah, that's why it's always important to try and keep a relatively tidy space.
Yeah.
If for nothing, just the look. Because having a cluttered space affects
your mental health,
which also in turn affects your crafting a lot of the time.
What?
I know, it's almost like everything's connected. And the brain is all the same, it's all there.
It's all, the gray matter is existing in the, yeah, mm-hmm. it's doing the thing.
Yeah. The gray matter is doing its thing.
The gray matter is, in fact, gray mattering.
Put that on a t-shirt. The gray matter is gray mattering.
Yep.
all right, well, so you're going to craft.
Mm-hmm.
Your ideal setup in general.
What is, like, my ideal crafting setup?
Because we've talked a little bit here and there of things we like. In your ideal world of keeping motivation for a long-haul craft project...
Natural light is incredibly important for my personal enjoyment of crafting. I don't do as much crafting in the dark as I do during the day. I like the natural light. So I find myself making a lot more things in the summer versus the winter. Because my brain goes, it's dark, it's time to sleep. So I like natural light. I will, like, play with brightening up a room using, like, I have a lot of, like, ring lights and stuff, so, like, I can simulate some of it. I need either music playing or some type of visual entertainment, usually an educational video, because it I go, that's interesting, and I like listening to educational videos. There's like the Time Team. I watch a lot of their videos, and I watch like Mini Minuteman, and I watch History Hits, and there's a couple others that I watch. There's also this guy that does like huge, like 3 hour long deep dives into like Roman history, and it's really fun. So like I will watch like educational archaeology videos.
Such a nerd.
Like an absolute fucking nerd. I like I that's another thing.
What kind of snacks?
Oh, I have to have I have to have sugary snacks and some type of like carbonated beverage. I need the caffeine and the sugar to keep me going. Because if I'm like really in the zone, I will go for like 8 to 10 hours straight without taking very much of a break at all because I'm a little insane and the autism takes over. And so I need that caffeine and sugar to keep my brain alive. So I, or I'll have like a chips or something like salty. I have to have snacks and I have to have like a carbonated beverage. I like to make sure that the space around me is clean and set up because I do film a lot of my crafting stuff. And also like, if I clean, like, especially the desk that I've put the sewing machine on, I have to like make sure that I maintain keeping everything in its spot. And I do like having somebody to talk to but I can like I can craft alone.
Craft dates.
I love craft dates. But yeah, and if I'm listening to music over watching videos, it has to be like noise music. You know what I mean? Like it has to be
like a soundtrack kind of thing.
No, like it like emo pop punk or like K-pop or something. I need noise music. I need to be listening to like, I don't know, Fall Out Boy or Stray Kids or like ATEEZ or something. I need noise music. I need my brain to like, I don't know, it helps me focus.
I get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your perfect little setup?
My perfect little setup. Especially because I do
Temperature is important for me too. It has to be not too cold but not too warm. Like
For me, it's relatively similar-ish, but I have the luxury of a lot of the work I do being fairly contained because it is a lot of needlework.
Mm-hmm. So I make huge things that need so much space.
Well, you do a lot of patterning.
Yeah.
And you do less, like, the fine motor detail work than I do. So I like to have a setup. Sometimes I put myself on the couch. Somewhere comfy. It needs to be somewhere freaking comfortable. And unfortunately right now, we do not have super comfortable chairs in our craft room because we are broke bitches.
I like to be slightly uncomfortable. It keeps me motivated for some reason.
Oh, no. If I'm uncomfortable...
Not uncomfortable in the sense of, like, I suppose, like, I would prefer a hard chair over a soft chair when crafting because it I don't know.
No, because a soft chair makes me not want to move, which will keep me working. So,
especially... But I guess we do different... Like, we have a very different style of craft, so that makes sense.
Yeah, and because my stuff is so close... it's so tiny, I have to be really, really close to it to make sure everything sits properly and nicely and that the beads aren't bunching up or getting caught or weird knots aren't happening on the back and I'm feeling it up. And so I like having to be a comfortable chair because I'm going to be hunching over a lot already and my bones don't like me. So I have to keep that in mind when I'm figuring out where I'm going to be. So often I'll be at my computer desk in my nice gaming chair or like on the couch, at least until we get some relatively nice chairs upstairs in the craft room. I'll find a show to watch. Like I've mentioned a few times, Criminal Minds is one of my comfort shows that also makes me really want to craft. So oftentimes it'll be that. Or something else. Sometimes I'll put on YouTube videos, like the fucking 8-hour Victorious deep dive that was posted.
I love the deep dive videos for crafting. It's so good.
But a lot of the YouTube videos I tend to be gravitated towards are like 30 minutes or shorter, so I try and stay away from that. I try to stick to autoplay because the less time I have holding something that can distract me, like a remote control or my phone or something, the better. Yeah. So I'll either do that. I don't tend to listen to music a lot unless I'm doing like a lot of just a shit ton of shit where I cannot like watch something. So like when I was conferencing on Molly Mock, I was doing a lot of various different things. I was just everywhere, so I just had a playlist going of music. I will also listen to cosplay podcasts.
I watch a lot of cosplay YouTubers when I work on stuff, because it'll help me keep motivated if I'm watching somebody else working on a project.
The one thing I do watch on YouTube, and that just reminded me of it, Adam Savage from Mythbusters. He has a whole series on his YouTube channel of one-day builds, and they're like hour-long videos, so I'll just be crafting away alongside Adam Savage, and he's just like silently working in his craft room, and I'm silently working in my craft room. It's like I'm having a little craft date with Adam Savage while he makes like fucking Totoro or the bear from The Revenant or something. But I do listen to a lot of cosplay podcasts. Ones that stick out in my brain are Cosplay Stitch and Steam, as well as Shenanigans Cosplayers Say, and sometimes I listen to Cospod as well, but their episodes are a lot shorter, so I tend to stick more towards the other two. They're all fantastic podcasts, which you should actually go and listen to and support if you enjoy this podcast. and for snacks, any type of finger food. Chips are a big one. Iced coffee, if I can have it. because I hate making iced coffee, but I love drinking iced coffee. I can't help it. I'm a lesbian. soda. I have SodaStream.
Oh my god, I'm the gamer boy. I'm out here being like, chips and carbonated beverage. Even like finger food.
Chips and Mountain Dew.
I'm the gamer boy. I'm your golden retriever gamer boyfriend, lads.
What's Lex gonna say? My god.
I wasn't saying yours. I'm saying you in like the sense of the world, I suppose.
It's funny because I'm the golden retriever girlfriend in my relationship.
It's funny because in my relationship I am dating the golden retriever like gamer boyfriend.
The duality of man, folks.
Yep.
The duality of man. But yeah, I have a lot of various different snacks. Anything in the house that I can munch on, I will be a munching on. nothing, though, I try to stick away from things that that will leave something on my fingers. So, like, cheesies, absolutely not.
No.
If I'm eating chips, typically they're, like, tortilla chips or, like, original chips where I'm not going to get a bunch of flavored dust on my hands because I'm doing such fine motor stuff with my fingers and getting chip dust out from between beads, I would rather throw myself off of a bridge.
That's fair.
Than try and get fucking Cheeto dust out from...
Well, that's like, I work with like a lot of fabrics, and getting that out of like white fabric is a pain in the ass.
At least on some fabrics you could bleach it out if you really need to, but with beads you can't do that.
No.
So, like...
And you can't, like, roughly wash beads either, because the stitches will come undone.
I mean, I put these on pretty hard, I probably could scrub it a little bit, but I still don't really want to risk... Fucking English language, please. I don't want to risk it. So, that's typically how I will set up my little groove. I don't like using headphones.
If
I don't have to, I won't use headphones.
I got used to wearing headphones, or like with listening to music and some stuff, because at my last place, I was just renting a room. And so like they were a nice, good Christian household, and you can't be listening and to like, you know, My Chemical Romance blasting at 9 o'clock at night.
Damn, dude.
So,
what if you need them to know the teenagers scare the living shit out of you?
Yeah. So yeah, like I had to get used to that. It's not my favorite, but I can make do.
Yeah, I just, my ears don't like headphones for long periods of time.
Any more than 4 hours and my ears are like, if you put anything else in me, I'm causing a riot and falling off your face.
Yeah, so I'll do everything in my power to keep myself as physically comfortable as I possibly can. So that, because I get more out of doing long-term crafting sessions than just a little bit here and there, because I find my progress is too slow when I do, like, 30 minutes here, an hour there or so.
Oh, yeah, I hate doing like that. If I'm going to sit down to craft, like, 2 hour minimum.
Yeah, so, like, sometimes, like, with work schedules and other extracurriculars, because apparently some people have other hobbies. That's new to me. But some people do have other hobbies, so they can't invest 6 to 8 hours to do crafting, which, you know, that's fine. I'm sure you can find a system that works for you. A lot of people get a lot done with shorter craft time, but more frequently.
Yeah.
I just prefer sitting down. 6+ hours every couple of days and just getting a big chunk out, because I feel more rewarded when I have a bunch of actual physical progress I can hold and touch and look at, versus being like, oh, there's 6 rhinestones added to this dress.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that works for you. Absolutely go ahead. Go. Don't let me tell you who the fuck.
Yeah, work at the pace that it makes you get the most done. Like, your best, what's the word I'm searching for? You are your own best, like, judge of what's gonna work for you.
Yeah, you know your work ethic better than anyone.
Yeah.
In most cases, some people are a little delulu, but in most cases, typically, you know your work ethic better than most people.
I like to take full days and just bust out as much as I possibly can. But I definitely know people who work better at, like, 30-minute to hour increments, like, after work or doing little things, and they get a lot more progress done that way. I am just insane and like to do everything all at once.
Yeah, because I will think about the project.
It will consume nonstop my every thought.
And it just makes me useless with anything else.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, just... Well, like, for fucking... While I was working on Molly Mock, it wasn't irregular for me to work on it for 12 hours at a time because I was unemployed while I was working on him.
Yeah.
So it just... Every waking thought. I did a couple all-nighters on accident because I was working on him. Where I'm like, I start working at 10 p.m. after dinner, and then I look up and it's 9 a.m. and it's like, oh shit, that was a long hour.
Yeah.
Right? But you also gotta be careful, you don't burn yourself out.
Yeah.
Because it's always better to get tired of a project and feel like it's starting to drain you to work on it and take a week off than getting to the point of burnout and not being able to work on it for 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
So listen to what your body needs you to do.
If you need to take a day off, take the day off the project.
Yeah.
Do it, like, please.
A fucking go fishing or something.
Yeah.
Do what normal people do.
My personal favorite is rotting in bed with a fan fiction when I need a break and I need to just reset my brain. I find a nice little 100,000 word baby and go all day.
Yeah, because something for me is if I get too off track of thinking of my project or something pertaining to my project, it makes it really hard for me to go back to it and not start working on the shiny new thing.
Yeah.
So, like, right now, I've been back, just pulled back into my X-Men phase.
We pulled each other. We saw the Deadpool Wolverine movie, and we were like, X-Men.
We watched X-Men 97, and we were like, this shit slaps.
Yep.
I forgot how much the X-Men fucking slap.
Yeah.
And then Deadpool Wolverine came out, and we're like, Gambit!
The way I was unhinged and feral in the movie theater and no one else was having the exact same reaction as me, I went and saw it with my boyfriend, and like me and Circuit went to see it at the same time. We went with our partners, and we were just sitting in completely opposite sides of the movie theater. And so when Gambit came on screen, I'm smacking my boyfriend's arm. I'm freaking out. I'm like, that's Gambit, that's Gambit. And the lady next to me looks over at me, like, almost disgusted that I'm having this visceral of a reaction to fucking Gambit.
And it's so funny, because on the other end of the cinema... I'm sitting there with my girlfriend having the same reaction.
And you're probably the only two bitches in that audience having that reaction.
Well, it's funny because, like, I see the playing card come out.
I and freaked I'm like, out.
This, it's not.
There's, I was like, there's no way.
There's no way. And for context, I have been in love with X-Men and Gambit and Rogue specifically since I was 7.
For me, it was 15.
Yeah, so yeah. I was 7. Like, superheroes have been consuming my every thought since the moment I was born, and probably a little bit before then. Like,
I was like 5 when I was introduced to the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, and I have never gone back ever since.
Like, my mom would read us Justice League comic books as our bedtime story type. This is consuming my every thought.
Yeah.
So I'm watching, and I see the playing card come out. And it's like, this is not Gambit. Like, this is not Gambit. And I'm kind of, like, shoving my girlfriend. And it's like, it's Gambit, who does not know really anything about superheroes outside of X-Men 97, which we watched together. And even then, they were kind of watching it, but not really. That thing that partners do when they're like, oh, yeah, you're interested in this, but whatever.
Yeah.
What have you.
I'll sit in the same room while you watch it. That's cute, dear.
Pretty much. And I'm like, it's Gambit, it's Gambit. And I look around to see if anyone else is excited, and everyone's just stone-faced.
That is the exact same reaction I was having.
And I'm like, I think I'm a little too excited about Gambit.
Because I'm flailing in my seat, kicking my feet, smacking my boyfriend, the people around me, I'm looking, no one is having this reaction. Because, like, when Blade came out, I was like, oh! And then Elektra came out, and I was like, oh! And I was really excited. And so there was a couple, I heard a couple gasps in the audience, but not the way that I was reacting. And then Gambit, and stone silence in the audience except for me.
And me.
And I was like, come on, guys.
And it's especially funny, because after the movie, we come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at my phone for the first time since the ad started rolling. And it's... message from Alley Cast Cosplay. Oh my god, this is so fucking... All capitals. Oh my god, this is so good. Message from Alley Cast Cosplay. I swear to god, if Gambit's on screen. Again, all capitals. Message from Alley Cast Cosplay. Oh my fucking god, it's Gambit!
No, because I was like, I know there's at least one person who's going to appreciate absolutely how insane I am right now. And they're in this movie theater. Anyways, the reason for that little ranty rant,
I don't even remember,
was that you're going to be doing Gambit and I'm going to be doing Rogue.
So I'm, the Zelda brain rot is always there in the very back of my brain.
Yeah, same. But Link lives all...
Since I have been pulled very aggressively and violently back into my X-Men phase of loving Gambit and Rogue so fucking much, it's been a little hard to, like, get how I'm gonna build Gambit out of the back of my head while I'm working on Zelda. But however, this ties back into what I mentioned earlier of having, like, a smaller project that maybe uses a different skill set.
Yep.
Because there is no foam work on Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
Foam work is something I want to learn how to do better.
Mm-hmm.
Gambit has foam work.
Yeah.
Or could have foam work. So, the little project I'm going to be making on the side, which is also going to be a competition piece.
Because we're insane.
Because we hate ourselves, apparently. It's going to be Gambit. So, whenever I get tired of doing all this tedious little work or corsetry of very well-fit garments, I can be like, you know what? Let's make a trench coat.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a light-up playing card.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a chest plate out of foam or some pants or fucking whatever. Something completely different than anything that's going to be on Zelda.
Yeah.
So I can both scratch that itch in my brain of the shiny new thing, but also still be in the mindset of working on things so I can go back and forth. So when I get frustrated on Zelda, I work on Gambit. Mm-hmm. When I would get frustrated on Gambit, I work on Zelda.
Yeah, because for me, Rogue is a very different skill set than what I'm going to be doing for Link, because Link is a lot of fitted non-stretch materials. It's a lot of, like, natural fibers, like cottons, and I'm going to have some velvet in there. And it's fitted, but in a different way than what a bodysuit for Rogue and, like, the leather jacket. Like, there's no real pleather work on Link, but I like making, like, pleather jackets, so it'll be fun and exciting to work on Rogue in my off time, and then also, like, working on bodysuits, and that's going to be, like, really interesting. And it's also very different fabrics and textures, so that keeps it interesting for me, because I love fabrics and textures in what I work on.
Mm-hmm. Textures are so nice. I love textures.
It's such a beautiful way of, like, showcasing the character, the universe that they're in, and then also just making things visually appealing.
Mm-hmm. Something else that keeps me kind of motivated on working on stuff is hiding Easter eggs in the design.
Mm, yes.
Because, yeah, being canon is fun and all, but it's so much more rewarding to me being able to alter the design a little bit to add little nods that other fans will see and notice, mm-hmm. and be like, mm-hmm. that's a cool design.
Yep.
Like, the Hannah Alexander designs have a completely different type of design on the bottom hem of the dress than what I'm currently making in these appliques, because I wanted to hide little Triforces in them.
Yep.
Right? On Molly Mock, I had a bunch of runes on the back that spelled out the Mighty Nine if you were to translate them. You know, like, yeah. that kind of fun stuff that keeps me excited to be able to add, that keeps me excited to work on it, because I want to get to those parts.
Yeah.
And I want to see people's reaction to those parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really fun. Mm-hmm. I always think about adding little Easter eggs or little things, and then I don't, because I'm a bit more of a, I'll stick more to the source material. I will take liberties in texture and mm-hmm. embellishment, and
especially for animated designs.
Yeah, especially for animated designs. But I've also made so many Genshin cosplays that I have embellished differently for some of them than how they are done in the game, and so I do find I enjoy, like, adding texture for, like, diversity, mm-hmm. diversifying my costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also for me too, as I'll set a slightly earlier date that I need it for than yeah. I know I actually need it for.
Yeah.
So, like, for me with comp builds, because of my egregious con crunching with Molly Mock, if the costume's not done, or at least mostly done, like, I'm saying, like, 90-95% done,
mm-hmm.
like, a week before the con, I'm pulling out.
Yeah.
Like, unless I'm doing, like, the final little touches that I know for sure will not take long, I'm not gonna do it. I'll take it to the next con, compete there, what have you. I'm not bringing it to that competition.
Well, it's like the little green guy that I'm currently working on from Scum Villain. I'm making him as a competition piece for Fan Expo. And so that's why I'm trying to finish him now and then have the photo shoot in November, so that way he's done and so far out of the way. So that way, making Link for the next competition, I'm not going to, like, be work. I'm giving myself plenty of time to work on Link.
Well, that, and you have plenty of time to think of little embellishments you yeah. want to add, and time mm-hmm. to make those adjustments.
Yeah.
Like, if you wear it to the shoot and you're like, oh, this actually fits a little odd,
mm-hmm.
I have 6 months to fix it.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Because the worst thing is finishing a piece just before you have to wear it, putting it on your body, and realizing something doesn't fit or things keep falling off.
Yeah, because stuff like that, for me, kills my motivation to make stuff, period.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on just a project, because it makes you feel really shitty
yeah.
about the quality of work you put out.
Yeah.
So it's like, is it worth it to try and make something else?
Mm-hmm.
Is it worth it to try and push my skill set if I can't even do a simple thing like a leather paint without it chipping off?
Or yeah.
various and sundry things.
Yeah. Well, it's like when my first Tartaglia that I made, there was a couple of things that kept coming off, and I had to find new and different ways of keeping them on. So the first two cons that I wore him to, a lot of it was hot glued together, and I didn't like that. So for the second time that I made a Tartaglia cosplay, I made sure that a lot more of it was sewn, and a lot, like, there, I will hot glue on some types of trim. I'm not against that, and I don't think it's wrong. Because you can, like, you can get, like, the double-sided, adhesives, and you can put, like, trim can be put on in a lot of ways that isn't hand sewing it down or machine sewing it down. And some trim just, I think, looks better if it's, like, attached with some type of adhesive.
Just be careful what adhesive you're using.
Yes.
And if you're going to be wearing that costume in hot weather,
yeah,
glue might not be the best.
Yeah.
Because a lot of glues will come undone in the heat.
Yeah. And so, like, with Child, I wore him in the summer, and that was a choice. But for my second Tartaglia that I made, I knew he was only ever going to be worn in the winter because it was like the Fatui cloak version, if you know what that is. So it's basically like this giant shoulder to floor double layered cloak that I made out of velvet, and it was this, it's beautiful, it's a beautiful piece, but it's not being worn outside of November to, like,
March.
maybe March, like, it is the hot boy. It is, so yeah, like,
because that ties into the last episode of cosplaying in the elements.
yeah, make sure your costumes are weather appropriate.
So if you haven't listened to that one yet, make sure you go have a listen so you,
yes,
don't give yourself heat stroke.
Yes, like I did at AR. That was not necessarily my fault though, because the convention center was as hot or hotter than it was outside, and it was in the summer, and they had terrible ventilation, there was AC nowhere, so you were going from hot to hot to hot, and
honestly,
yeah.
I don't bank on AC at any con.
Well, I wasn't really, because, like, Sasuke was not a lot of layers.
Yeah.
But I still got so incredibly overheated and got such bad heat exhaustion. It was, I probably got full-on heat stroke.
Yeah.
With how sick I was.
It was amazing being able to watch you just turn off the heat stroke for the panel.
I don't know how I did that. Yeah, so if you've watched the panel or, like, listened to that cosplay
horror story,
I had full heat stroke while in that. But
because we were so motivated to keep the show going.
Yeah. I just kind of, like, I used my, that's where the autism masking came in handy, and I just masked away being sick.
Yeah. anyways, do you have anything else to say on motivation and how to keep it?
It's honestly something I, like, slightly struggle with. So, like, yeah, I don't know, just the thing that keeps me the most motivated is setting hard deadlines. And, like, making sure that my workspace stays clean throughout the project. I'll leave thread on the floor, or, like, I'll finish a piece. Like, I'm not going to clean up while I'm working on, like, let's say if I'm making a shirt. And the costume has, like, 17 different pieces. I'll clean up between pieces, but not during a piece. But, like, after a piece is done, I always make sure that I clean that up. Like, having a clean workspace really motivates me to,
yeah, because having to set everything up every time really takes my motivation.
Oh yeah,
sometimes.
If I have to set up every single time I'm working on something, I just won't work on it. So yeah, a huge thing for me also keeping motivated is keeping the thing out. So like one of the things that I really like doing actually, now that I have a dress form, is leaving the costume in its unfinished state on the dress form in its various
level of completion?
Yeah, in its different levels of completion, I'll leave it on my dress form as a constant reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you?
Pretty much, I think I'm kind of done with what I have written here on my notes.
Mm-hmm.
But because keeping motivation, it's something most people struggle with, even if they think they got it in the bag. motivation comes and goes, and there's really not a whole lot you can do if you're completely out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing how your brain works, knowing how your work ethic works, and how your process of creating things works, makes it easier to set things up so it gives you the best possible chance of keeping that motivation going.
Yeah.
When you need to, that isn't during con crunch. Because waiting until con crunch to get your motivation, that's how, because you work well under pressure, isn't good for anybody.
Yeah, I am... Stop! they just looked directly into my soul. I struggle with just waiting for con crunch to take over.
Oh, we'll have conversations of building things and working on our costumes, and it'll be a, oh, I'll just wait because I work better under pressure.
Hey, at least for the one I'm currently working on, he isn't needed until January or February, and he's almost done. So, listen.
You gotta pass this time.
I'm trying! I'm trying.
Alright, so if you... So, leaving it at that then, if you have an idea for any of our podcast episodes, feel free to email us at dressupdisasters@gmail.com. Or on our Instagram account, Circass, CIRCAS Productions. Yes. I'm dyslexic.
Me too.
Over on Instagram, and DM us, email us with email with suggestions on episodes that you want to see. Maybe even guests you might want to have, might want to see on the podcast, and we can do our best to try and reach out to those individuals and be like, hey, please talk to us, be friends. We also have some merch available over on Teespring, and the info for all that is also on our Instagram, at Circass Productions, in our bio. And yeah, download, share to your friends, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.